Welcome back to the Mind of Monty podcast. It's your boy Monty G here, getting ready to wrap up the A block and B block. We're not really the, this is their block finals, I guess you would say, because we're, even though this is not the end to where we, it's not set up the way it usually is in the G1 when you have the block finals, and then after the block finals, really right after that, you would have the actual G1 final, but in this case, we have to wait on C and D, which will be coming up, probably actually will be aired by the time you hear this episode. But we definitely have to talk about what happened on August 5th and August 6th for A and B block. And, and just see how these blocks ended up wrapping out. Who were the two people? We know in both blocks, though, that it would be Okada and Sonata. Who would join them in the finals and make the playoffs to where I think they will end up fighting D-Bop, but I have to see how it turns out because I've heard, until we get everything settled, I don't necessarily know who they would end up fighting just yet. But with that being said, hold on, let me see. Can I do some scouting? Because we have the 8th and the 9th. That will be the way C and D-Block decide to wrap up. And then let's go to August 10th. I'm assuming that will be so the way it's going to shake out is first place of A block versus the second place of C block. And then you have the first place of B block versus the second place of D block. So it's going like that. So then you have first place C block, second place B block. So it's kind of like that, vice versa. So who would join, Sonata, we'll see who be in second, who will finish in second place of C block. That's who will be the one fighting Sonata. And who will be in second place in D block is who will be fighting Kazuchika Okada. But who would join them, in that situation, will be is the question here. So I think we started off the night in A block with a nice contest of we started off with the Tsuji battle, right? Yeah. So man, Yota Tsuji and Gabe Kidd, man, they started off really, really quick as usual with Gabe Kidd. You know how he does. Attacks Tsuji, at least who he thought was Tsuji, and then we come to figure out that was not Tsuji at all. It's actually a Tsuji lookalike, someone who honestly, really, if you didn't know it, really had a lot of people confused. The crowd was confused at first, but that is Yota Tsuji's real twin brother. Who would have thought that? Who would have thought that he would have recruited his twin brother? But it was smart, very, very smart, knowing what Gabe Kidd has done to everyone at the beginning of matches. So it starts with confusion, but Gabe Kidd quickly got things back together, told both of them to fuck off, basically. No, literally. I said basically. No, he literally told them he fucked them to on the microphone. He's just such a great heel, so natural. Just, it's not even just about being a heel or riling up the Japanese fans. I think they have gained respect. You can kind of hear the crowd. Now, of course, he's fighting Tsuji. So the crowd's going to be kind of into it anyway, but they had a damn good match, honestly, in this one. And even with neither guy basically having a chance I think maybe they had an outside chance, but I don't think really, they needed help. Both of Tsuji would have needed help because he didn't have the tiebreaker, and Gabe Kidd would have also needed help if he would have won. But Tsuji did take him out with the spear. Very good match, in my opinion. It started off very strong. The shock at the beginning was kind of cool to think about. Again, it's very unexpected. But Gabe Kidd, man, hell of a tournament. I know it's not completely done yet. He'll be doing tags and other matches, and we'll see what's next for him and Tsuji going forward. But hell of a tournament for both guys as Gabe Kidd finishes with 5 points and Yota Tsuji finishes with 7. And that's for a guy who started off with draws, did not get a chance to get a win until really deeper into the tournament, but he ended up doing pretty strong overall with his performance. So, really liked it. This one was all over the internet before I even got a chance to watch it, man. Kaito Kiyomiya versus Ren Narita, really good match. Probably not Ren's best match of the tournament, honestly, but Kaito wrestled a very strong technical match, worked that leg, set him up for the figure four, and it really looked like that Kaito would have the advantage and he would pull it off. But Ren Narita would definitely, with the crowd on his hand, the tenacity ramped up, and he kept hitting that cobra twist. It was kind of cool, with Kaito fighting like Keiji Muto, and you know, Inoki kind of being invoked a lot in Ren Narita's fighting style. Of course, he's always kind of mixing in a little bit of Shibata's influence, but he really worked the Cobra Twist a couple of times in this one. You know, those dragon screws were perfect. It reminded me of Tanahashi, just like, of course, reminded me of Muda, and just how he was snapped with that dragon screw. One of the essential Japanese professional wrestling move, you know, honestly. It's just been passed down to great after great after great, really. And Kaito was very, very good. But again, it was nice to see them trade those signature moves of Noah's founder and then New Japan's founder. And again, the rolling elbow, the enziguri, it just seemed like Kiyomiya was hitting harder and that he was going to win. A nice tiger driver. But again, a tiger driver and a tiger suplex, but again, two for both guys to kick out. You know, again, it seemed like Kaito was going to hit the Shining Wizard so he can, you know, finish him. But nope, nothing, ran right into a perfect front suplex hold that, you know, Ren Narita finishes people with the bridge. Biggest victory of the tournament for Ren Narita, who really struggled, basically. Had a tough time against everyone, to be honest. But he really showed up in this one. Best match, finished with 6 points. Kaito Kiyomiya is also a 6-point tie with him. And, again, some people were very disappointed, especially since he's representing Noah. Some people thought, you know, even Kevin Kelly entertained, what would the company of Noah feel about this? Honestly, I think for guys like me, and I can't talk for the people who've been following Noah forever. They could be disappointed in Kaito, but really for a guy like me who didn't know much about him other than his performances against Okada, and I saw like one match in Noah, but other than that, I didn't really know much about Kaito coming into this, but he's really impressed me. I love him as far as his work goes. He's really, really good, and he made me want to check out more Noah, and I think that was the goal for people like me who was not familiar with him. So I think that goal was accomplished. And I know he's going to fight Okada again at some point. He's probably going to fight Sonata again at some point because that match was awesome. And Sonata barely put him away. But anyway, speaking of this Sonata, the world champion, him and Chase Owens had especially at the beginning, it was kind of very, very funny. I'm not going to say it was a funny match or a comedy match, but you know, that's, you know, the Paradise Lock was probably the highlight of it, and that was the beginning. But I don't want to say that it was anything bad with this. The problem with this match, in my opinion, is that no matter what Chase did, I didn't think he ever really had a shot in this match against Sonata. You can think that coming in, but when you watch the match, you hope that he put a beating on Sonata enough to really convince you that he had a chance. But nope, Chase is just not there yet. Was nowhere near, honestly, really threatening Sonata to me, even though it was a solid match. But yeah, the Shining Wizard and the Deadfall, even though Chase Owens did all he could to threaten that package pile driver. That's the thing about Chase Owens, you know, even if you don't think he has a chance, anytime he can drop you on your head, he definitely has a chance. But yeah, man, big victory for us. Well, not really a big victory, but it was a big tournament for Sonata, finishing perfect, 14 points. You know, just he beat everyone. It's just nothing. There's nothing you can say other than he was perfection in his block. And I cannot wait to see what he does against the second place winner. I think I said C block earlier, but if I'm wrong, it's D block. Either way, I can't wait to see what he does in that match. And will that be the first person to pin him, or will he continue on? And could he do what he said he's going to do and be a champion who wins the entire thing? But this led all the way down to the main event. Could Shota Umino, you know, figure out a way to get through here? Because if he won this match, he would be the second place winner. But the same thing goes for Hikuleo. If Hikuleo could win this, he would also be second place. A draw was not an option for either man. It would not help any of them. Honestly, I think a draw probably would have helped Tsuji, but I honestly don't know if it would have helped Tsuji because he lost to – well, it would have helped him over shoulder, but I don't know if it would have – no, they probably would have had to do a playoff, I think. But he shouldn't have had to because he lost to Hikuleo. So, I don't know. Hikuleo probably would have won either way. But I don't know. I don't know if it helps him in the end. The point is, in fact, I don't think it helped him because he only got the points he got because of this win here. So, never mind. It would not have helped him. He would have just – I think he would have been behind Tsuji. So, I think that would have been great for Tsuji. But, anyway, it was a really, really cool match. Shota Umino did everything he could. It was one of those times, again, in this tournament where the big man – You realize as you keep fighting him that he's just too big. And the fans seem to really love to watch especially so far these three Musketeers tried their hand at putting the big man down and beating him. He started off really rough, but he could lay off finish strong. Man, and I didn't have a problem with this match at all. I thought it was actually – I don't know if I like this match from Hikuleo better than Yota Tsuji, but it definitely was – it definitely had those people in Osaka going crazy. And the fact that I know how close Yota Tsuji – I mean, not Yota Tsuji. The fact that I know how close Hikuleo and Shota Umino are outside of the ring and the respect they showed each other after this match was really cool. And I can't wait to see. They said they're going to – Hikuleo wants to keep doing this. We will see, man. Do they have a future of just doing this throughout their careers? It'll be nice to see. And quickly, on to the B Block show. You know, again, very, very fantastic, very, very exciting night of wrestling for the most part in this card. You know, even though I must say Yoshihashi and Kenta, this is the first time Yoshihashi, in my opinion, let me down. It wasn't Yoshihashi's fault. I think he wrestled his ass off again, but it's just something about Kenta. I don't know if he does not care at this point because it's so late in the tournament or whatever it is. But, you know, again, it seemed like Yoshihashi just had a hard time getting into it. You know, of course, the ref went down. And then, of course, that made it even harder for Yoshihashi to get into the match. But Kenta worked with the stick. That's the best spot of the match, not only when he took the bow staff and hit himself in the head, but, you know, of course, hitting using the kendo stick. The best part about this match was the usage of the sticks. Yeah, man, Yoshihashi fought back, but, you know, just as he was about to hit Karma, just as he was about to hit the finisher, inside cradle, and Kenta gets a cheap win, even though I don't necessarily think he cheated. I mean, I guess he did after the ref went down, but it wasn't really like a screwy roll-up. He just beat him with a roll-up, and that was kind of disappointing, honestly. But, you know, Yoshihashi, in my opinion, even though he finished with 4 points and was not the best one in his block, but I think he was last place in his block. He really had a great tournament, in my opinion, match quality wise. Like his fight against Okada, when he tried everything he could. Same thing with you know, his fight against Will Ospreay. He really put in some really good effort. Same thing with the fight with Tai Chi. I enjoyed. Speaking of Tai Chi, he faced the Great Okan, and again, this is more so about pride. Both guys were eliminated. Great Okan, like I said, had a horrible start to the tournament. As a matter of fact, a big bulk of this tournament was tough. But after he fought Will Ospreay and lost, you know, towards the end here, he finished out pretty strong. And, you know, again, Tai Chi tried to get more out of Oka, and he definitely seemed to do that. Because, you know, even though, you know, Tai Chi tried to put some submission holds on Okan, you know, again, just kind of woke up after, you know, kind of taking a lot of damage, you know, and just really took the fight back to Tai Chi. And then, again, he hit to put him in the head and arm, like an arm triangle choke, and literally choked Tai Chi out towards the end there. And, yeah, again, not the most compelling stuff, in my opinion. I've seen Tai Chi do better just in this tournament. And the same thing go for Okan. I've seen him do better at times, but it was a good performance for Okan because, again, like I said, he was struggling through the tournament. And it was a great, strong finish for him. Is Tai Chi going to finish with 6 points? And even though he did get that victory over Ospreay, they can always let him have that. And then, again, Great Okan finished with 6 points, even though he started pretty tough. So, yeah. But next match was right here, Tongaloa versus Okada. Okada had a lot of stuff to say, some disrespectful stuff to say about Tongaloa and just his energy level and called him boring and just, again, trying to pull out what he could from Tongaloa in this match. And, you know, and I thought, honestly, he did a decent job, honestly, as far as, like, pulling out the best of Tongaloa. Of course, it was moments there where just, you know, Tonga just don't seem like he's anywhere near the level of Okada. But at the same time, I thought he had a nice, like, I love the dropkick spot right before the finish, and I love some of the power move, like the spear that came out of nowhere that kind of surprised Okada. But again, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to act like this is a barn burner. And you know, I do think that if you're going off what was said beforehand, and I wish I would have looked at the comments to see if Okada paid any respects to Tongaloa afterwards. But honestly, it was a solid match, honestly, and a cool match for Tongaloa to be in this spot when you think about, you know, how hurt he's been and just how things went for him throughout this tournament, too. Even though he did finish with 6 points, Okada finished with 12. Only lost one match. That was against William Peter Charles Ospreay. So, speaking of that, man, Phantasmo versus Will Ospreay. Honestly, I just don't know what to say about this one. I do these little play-by-plays, and I try to give you guys an idea of what happened. But in all honesty, if we're being real, this match was just special, man. This match was special, and it's really tough to just give you a rundown of it and say that's what happened. I'm going to, you know, and Matt, word for word. Like, honestly, I feel like the internet said it too. But if you just didn't get a chance to see this match, it's going to be one of those matches that I hope don't get forgotten. Now, again, I do kind of hope it, because that if it does get forgotten, not that it gets forgotten, but it's one of those things that you kind of got to take a note of, because the G1 towards the end gets better and better and better. And I'm pretty sure the final is going to be a banger. And I don't want this match to get lost in the final, especially if it's like Ospreay, Okada, Ospreay, Sonata, whatever the situation may be. So, you know, this was just a really good match, man. I just say, seek it out. Every time Ospreay and El Phantasmo have fought, it has never disappointed me. But, man, they took it to the next level here. ELP had the fans behind them. Osaka really wanted to see an upset. They really wanted to see ELP pull it off. I wanted to see ELP pull it off. It was so good to where I just feel like the next time they fight in that situation, is no way that ELP won't be able to pull it off. At least I hope not, because it just it was almost heartbreaking to see him lose this one because of just how well he fought and just how talented he is. Like I said, he's one of my favorite people to watch. Ospreay may be the best in the world, but my favorite person to watch in New Japan, basically on a match-to-match basis that's not named Tetsuya Naito, is ELP, man. And it just, again, I don't know how he does it, but he really put it on. I really love the respect that Ospreay showed him after the match, basically saying that if it wasn't for the fact that he appreciate him, he's kind of like he wants ELP in the Vegeta position. If you think if you like Dragon Ball Z, Ospreay is like Goku. He wants ELP in his Vegeta position. He enjoys fighting him. Does not want to be on his team. That's why he's not in the United Empire. But after the match, ELP did get picked up by some old friends, Tonga Loa and Tama Tonga. So it seemed like he probably will be joining up with the Guerrillas of Destiny. I think it fits perfectly, especially with, you know, him being, you know, especially the Guerrillas of Destiny are basically in Hantai too. So it's just like a nice way of easing him into Hantai. But, you know, the people have already accepted ELP. I think that fits pretty well. Even though I would have liked him and Will to put their differences aside, I understand completely, and I love Will's explanation for it, because he actually wanted to show ELP some love and some respect too. Yeah, Will Ospreay is on his Okada stuff now. He's literally in that range to where it's like he's a final boss also in his own way. You know what I mean? Kenny Omega kind of got to that point. Once you get to the Okada level, once you beat Okada, so that's the thing. Once you're able to pin Okada, man, you really up to that level. It's kind of crazy to me that I know Naito is beating Okada, but we just forget about that because they don't really act like he's unbeatable. But Ospreay, man, unbelievably talented, and he deserves to be second place. I mean, would it really be block final? Would it really be the G1 finals if Ospreay and Okada did not make it through? So there we go. Those are the four: Sonata, Hikuleo, Ospreay and Okada. Now, again, I don't want to sound like I know, like I'm just this. It doesn't matter. I didn't even get a chance to put out the podcast any damn way. But if I would have did my preview podcast, those would have been my picks to come out, specifically A-Block. I knew, I was like, Hikuleo is probably going to be one come out. I just figured he would have a good run. I didn't think he's going to start off the way he did. But he finished strong, and now he's in the playoff. We'll see how that turned out. So next, we're going to have, as far as G1 climate action, we're going to have some preview tag for like D-Block and all of that type of stuff. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and go into what's going to be happening in the actual G1 on Tuesday, August 8th. So, Tomohiro Ishii versus Mikey Nicholls, that's going to be physical. Tama Tonga and Hanare, Eddie Kingston, David Finlay, very important. And Shingo Takagi and Evil. If Evil loses, he claims he's going to cut his hair bald. Now, I don't believe anything Evil said. Maybe Shingo will shave it for him. That's some nice hair that might be gone. Either way it go, we'll see. Can Shingo come all the way back and knock Evil out? And he can get second place. Can Eddie Kingston surprise Dave Finlay? Or will he be doing a favor for Finlay? We'll see how that turns out. But, yeah, the next podcast you'll be hearing me, I'll be trying to break down Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. Next podcast you hear from me, hopefully we'll be out on the 11th. But if not, it'll definitely be recorded on the 11th so I could talk about what happened in C and D Block's finals. Kind of a similar show to this. And then after that, that's it, man. We're here. August 12th, August 13th, we're going to be here for the playoff round, basically. August 12th is going to be where we determine who was going to end up being in the finals. And then on 13th, we'll be the finals. And there we go. We'll see who wins the G1 Climax this weekend. So it's a really exciting time, man, for us New Japan fans. And I really appreciate everyone for checking the show out. And, you know, again, being able to watch and witness the G1 this year, even through its ups and downs, is always fun. I'm just so glad that I was able to cover it all. And if you've been using me to keep up, you've been using me to catch up, I appreciate you. But yeah, man, I'll let you know in the next show. I've been told that I probably should do a SummerSlam thing. I haven't even watched the whole show myself. I watched the last part of it, so I can't do a SummerSlam review. We'll see. Maybe I'll set something up. But honestly, I've been so focused on just getting G1 podcast out, I have to figure out a way to do something else. Same thing with All In. I'm going to do my best when it comes to Wembley and all of that type of stuff. Maybe I will put out a podcast myself because I've been watching at least Collision. I get to see Dynamite and Collision I've been able to catch up on. I don't necessarily watch Rampage, but they've been doing interesting stuff there too, so maybe I should. Either way it goes, I appreciate everyone for listening. It's a wide range of topics I really could be talking about on this show. But if you've been checking out my show, just listening to my G1 content, I appreciate you. You know, hit me up on Twitter @MyMontyPod. Adios. Thank you, people.